For me, I think my biggest struggle was not really ever knowing what my truth was. Like, am I feeling this because it's true, or am I feeling this because I'm afraid of something and I'm running away? You know what I mean? Like, it was very interesting to be in my mind because it was constantly just like confused and fuzzy.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike DiZio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike DiZio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm so happy you're joining us, whether you're listening or watching us on YouTube. Thank you so much for being here, and it's my honor to host this episode for you. So today we have someone on who I'd like to tell you a little bit about before I introduce her. So she's an integrated attachment theory coach and has been a student at the Personal Development School for over 3 years. And her background is a diverse background. She has degrees in business and occupational therapy, is also a certified yoga instructor. She's been teaching in the Vinyasa style of yoga for the past 10 years and loves to incorporate breathwork and somatic processing in both her coaching and yoga practices. She's always been interested in psychology and understanding the whys behind people's behaviors and is excited to share this understanding with others. Her goal is to help clients recognize and address the roots of repetitive, unhealthy patterns of behavior so they can put an end to them once and for all and finally find freedom and happiness in their lives. Everyone, this is Annette Della Barbara. Annette, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Mike, for the nice intro. I appreciate it. And I'm happy to be here today.
Awesome. Great to have you. Okay. So we'll start, with people who don't know your background. Do you want to just give us a brief little synopsis of your background and sort of what's led you up until now?
Yeah. So I'm originally from the East Coast of the US in New York. And so I got my undergraduate degree there in business, concentrating in marketing, because I was, like you said, I was always kind of interested in psychology. And so marketing was, it was a way to appease the pressures of family saying I should go into business, but keeping that like psych piece of it for me. And then I ended up moving out to Minnesota, which is where I'm at right now. And I came out here for my grad degree, got my master's in occupational therapy. And it's funny because now that I'm doing the coaching, there's a lot of overlap there. It's kind of working with clients to achieve their goals in different ways. So I'm definitely like incorporating the coaching into that piece as well. And then, like you said, I got my yoga teaching certification in 2013. So I've been teaching yoga and kind of incorporating that into my practice as well.
That's excellent. Thanks for sharing. So I just want to know about your sort of journey. We're interested in hearing about your personal development journey and what you've been through. For yourself personally, was there like a catalyst, a rock bottom, an aha moment, or a situation that sort of like propelled you into diving into your own personal development journey?
Yeah. So I've always been kind of interested in the meaning of life and all that kind of stuff and what my sort of purpose is and trying to find just like a deeper sense of meaning and understanding. I've always had that interest in personal growth. And honestly, I've, in my 20s, especially, I would say like early 20s, I battled with like depression and stuff like that and was trying to seek resolution for some of these struggles that I was facing. So I first kind of went the route of looking into like spirituality and kind of diving into that, mindfulness, meditation, things like that. And then I had a friend, because you kind of asked about a catalyst. And I remember I had a friend who gave me the book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle or Eckhart Tolle. I can never remember how to pronounce his last name. But he gave me this book and I actually could not get through it at the time because it was just like a very dense kind of heavy, not even heavy, but just too deep for me at that time. Like my mind wasn't there yet. And I later read his book, A New Earth. And that was really transformational for me. It just really went along with this idea of like mindfulness and how you are not your thoughts or, your conditioning, these like patterns that you've sort of been conditioned to believe. And that really was a huge catalyst for me because it made me realize, oh, there's something here. Like, there's something to this. Whereas before, I think I just was like, oh, I'm just going to be stuck like this forever. That was a big moment for me. And then, of course, finding PDS, that was another moment where I kind of realized, like, okay, there's hope and I can transform out of these patterns that I was living.
That's really great. Yeah, Eckhart Tolle or Tolle as well. I'm not 100% sure. I've heard Tolle. I've heard both. He's really great. And actually, in my own healing and sort of personal development journey as well, that was one of the first people that I really got into. And you mentioned like deep, you wanting to dig more into like deep spiritual topics and meaning of life topics. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that kind of stuff. And I never really had like people to talk to about that. So it's really great. Like, you know, you're into that. And I'm sure a lot of people in the personal development school kind of like to dig into those topics as well. But that's really nice to see.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you hear about the personal development school? We mentioned that you've been in the school for about 3 years now. Like, how did you first hear about it and what sort of prompted you to join?
Yeah. So like many others in PDS, I was prompted to join because of a failed relationship. And I remember there was a specific situation. It was, you know, with an ex of mine. And there was a period of time where we were, after we had broken up and we were kind of friendly, we were maybe trying to reconcile and trying to just sort of see how things were going. And so we were spending time together. And I just remember like this scene in my mind that still stands out to me where he was going to leave, like walk out the door. And, you know, we hadn't fought. It wasn't anything, you know, there wasn't anything going on in that moment other than like, okay, time for him to go. And I just remember feeling like a sense of like panic. And it was like really strange. I'm like, what's going on? And it wasn't honestly, it's not the first time that had happened with him and with another partner as well. So I started going into Google and being like fear of abandonment, right? Because I knew a little bit about attachment styles, not very much, but I was like, okay, I think this is like an abandonment thing. And anyways, Google, Google, Google. And then I got to YouTube basically and PDS channel. And so that's how I found it. I saw one of Thais's videos where she was specifically talking about my attachment style and just was like, right on with it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, sold me right there. So that was pretty much it. I mean, she gave me hope that like, I see you, I understand. And there's like a solution, there's hope. So I joined like right away. I kind of just got to a point where I thought like, I can't keep repeating these patterns. You know, they kept showing up in every relationship. So that was how I found PDS and joined immediately.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's our patterns that we're like, what's going on here? Why does this always keep mm-hmm. happening? And when we don't have answers, it's frustrating. And mm-hmm. I imagine in your situation, when your partner would leave, like that would be very scary for you because you're literally having like a body visceral reaction, but your conscious mind is saying like, there's no danger here. Like he's mm-hmm. just leaving for the night or the day. Mm-hmm. So, wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of it too, like mm-hmm. imagine on the partner side of it, like, you know, we want to make sure our partner's happy and not feeling upset. But like, if you're afraid that if you leave, they're going to be feeling terrible, that puts a lot of pressure on the other end of the relationship as well. Yeah. So
yeah. Great point.
Yeah, for sure. So no, I'm glad that you found some relief within the school there.
Yeah.
And if anybody definitely. Else has gone through that and can resonate with what Annette's saying, there are tools in the school to sort of deal with the body reactions that occur mm-hmm. when things like this happen.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, so obviously you studied a lot of attachment theory with your integrated attachment theory training and in the school. I'm just curious, like, did you hear about attachment theory or were you aware of it before personal development school or did you hear about it long before?
Yeah. So I had heard about it from, like I said, I was always interested in psychology. And so even in my undergrad, I was taking like psychology classes as my, you know, like my elective classes. And also when I got my, or when I was applying to programs for my occupational therapy degree, I also had to take a few psych classes as like prerequisite classes. So like before you could even apply, you have to sort of reach a certain foundation. So there I took developmental psychology. And that's really, I guess, the most recent time that I remember hearing about it. But it was, and that was what, that was, you know, 10 years ago almost. And it was very general. It was very much like, you know, traditional attachment theory, you know, just the typical stuff that, you know, if you go on YouTube and you kind of look up the, you know, John Bowlby and like the original experiment, Strange Situation, I think it's called, like, there's just sort of that traditional understanding of attachment theory. And I knew very generally about the attachment styles, but I think the thing about PDS that's so awesome and really stands out for me anyway is like the way that in integrated attachment theory, you layer on traditional attachment theory and then all these other patterns, like the core wounds that tend to show up for each of them, their relationship to like different, you know, their emotional patterns, their relationship to boundaries, but all these other like interesting things that like when you look closer, it's like, wow, there's actually these pretty clear themes across attachment styles. And those things aren't captured in traditional attachment theory. So I know I'm kind of like going down a rabbit hole answering your question, but like I did know about attachment theory technically, but definitely not to like the depth that I've learned it in the school. So
yeah, that's great. And I know kind of Tice breaks it down with her like daily breakthrough videos on YouTube and whatnot and sort of gives a lot of examples and stories that people can resonate with, to the point where I know sometimes I read in the comments, people are like, are you watching me, Tice? Are you spying on me? Like, how do you know this about me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's
for sure.
Really cool. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. So what would you say has sort of been one of your biggest areas of like personal growth since being in the school and going on your own journey?
Yeah, so I would say that I have worked a lot on like the relationship to myself. And I know that kind of it might sound like a little cliche, but I really came to realize that I had to take care of myself and love myself if I was ever going to have a healthy relationship. And in the school, you know, you really get like concrete ways to do that, like concrete ways to, you know, quote unquote, show self-love. Because I remember, you know, before I got into the school, I was like, what did that even mean? Like, I was like, how do I love myself? Like, I love myself. All right. But like actually showing that through actions. And I'll share like a quick story. You know, for me, one thing that I noticed was that I would kind of like deprive myself of silly things, you know? So this sticks out in my mind as an example. I remember there were times where I would go to like choose my clothes for the day. And like, this is especially during COVID, right? Like I was working from home. I was fortunate enough to, you know, to work from home. And there were some days where I'd want to change it up from like the sweatpants, you know, and be like, oh, like I have this nice shirt that I want to wear or something like that. And I just remember thinking like, oh no, I'm not going to wear that. It's not a special occasion. You know, I'm not going to see anyone today. So why am I going to wear a nice shirt? And it sounds like not much, but when you really think about it, it's like, what was happening there was that in my mind, I was thinking, oh no, you're not worthy of wearing this shirt unless you're going to go wear it in front of someone and get acknowledged for it. Right. I was able to like start catching myself in that pattern of just not treating myself and not allowing myself to like basically have things that like I wanted to have. And so I started like, you know, wearing the nice shirts, and it might not seem like much, but that was part of this like self-love process for me. And this like internal work was stuff like that. And, you know, checking in with myself throughout the day, just giving myself the love that like I was hoping other people would give to me was really big for me personally. So, yeah.
No, for sure. That rings so true. And, you know, with self-love, people can be like, okay, what do I do there? Like look myself in the mirror and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Like you can do that, but you said it right there. It's the action sort of behind it. Mm-hmm. Just as, you know, you would want to show somebody in your life that you love, how would you show them? You would show them by doing things. You would show them by like showing up daily, because anybody can kind of say things like, I love you. But if there's nothing sort of showing that, so literally we have to do that to ourselves. And I love the analogy you gave of how you showed yourself self-love and, you know, choosing a shirt or an outfit that made you feel good. Yeah. And just for that reason alone. So definitely the action piece has to be behind it with self-love. And it sounds like you've got that down pat.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. The thing that I always keep in my mind is like, we tend to save things for like special occasions, and we just have to remember that like we are the special occasion, you know, and we can treat ourselves that way.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't love Valentine's Day. I'm like, you know, we should be celebrating our partner all the time, not just waiting for this one day.
That's so true.
Yeah, it's funny. Then your partner gets mad saying, why don't you get me anything on Valentine's Day? Or mad when I give them something the next day and it has like the 50% off sticker on
it.
Okay, so thank you for sharing. So I want to ask now, sort of, now that you've done a lot of work on healing your attachment style, how have your relationships changed specifically? So you touched on the sort of relationship to self, but relationships outside of you, whether it be friendships, family, romantic relationships, have you seen a change in that area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so I was originally an FA as well. I don't think I mentioned that. So I was originally fearful avoidant. And so I'm very like volatile. I coined the term that I was a flaming fearful avoidant. just because I just was very volatile, angry. I didn't know how to deal with conflict. And I didn't really honestly know how to deal with my emotional experience because I would feel a lot and then just like not know what to do with it. So my relationships with others have definitely improved because I've learned the skills to actually, first of all, figure out, okay, what am I feeling and why, and like, where is it coming from? Which I like really had a lot of trouble with in the past. And then like going and communicating it in like a healthy way rather than like in an angry outburst because I was like holding it in for 2 months, you know? So that's been huge. Like just being able to like communicate. The biggest example of this in my mind is my relationship with my mom. You know, we're very close, but we've always kind of had like this up and down relationship. And I think it's a lot of that was like my volatility, you know, her own stuff from her life experiences, which now I can sort of look at and understand a little bit better rather than being so reactive to. But yeah, like with her, I've been able to just communicate things. Like those three things have been huge. So being able to see her experience, right? And like kind of validate and understand like where she's coming from, even if it's not, she's not showing it in the best behavior or the healthiest behavior, just being able to see where she's coming from. Then being able to check in with like myself, what's going on for me? What are my stories? What am I needing? And then third, going to like actually communicate it. I mean, those things have been huge with her and really all my relationships, but that's really the one where I've seen the most change. And what's cool is also seeing her respond to that a little bit. Like it's very new. I think it's a very new way of being and communicating. Like this emotional literacy, I don't think is really taught to people all the time. And so I do think it's a little bit new to her. And so seeing her kind of pick up on things like, I have to lead the way, but you can tell that she's like starting to put little bits of effort in and like understanding and communicating and stuff like that. So it's been a really rewarding process for my own growth, but then seeing her kind of come along with it as well. So yeah, it's a huge impact.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Like you showed up for yourself, you learned tools and tips to improve your own life, but now you're affecting your mom as well. Mm-hmm. And if you can imagine, you know, from our parents' generation, the amount of availability of like learning how to set boundaries, learning how to communicate, yeah. Like there just wasn't that information out there. Like there was no internet. Mm-hmm. But even I remember a time like not too long ago where like the personal development section of like a bookstore was a very small section. Like you'd be lucky to get like, you know, two rows on a shelf. Now personal development section is like rows and rows. Mm-hmm. So we're really fortunate now to have all this information. It's so cool to be showing our parents some things that can really help them. So I'm super happy to hear that.
Yeah.
A great
Thank
share.
You. I was just going to say, you make such an interesting point, and this is definitely like a rabbit hole for another podcast episode, but like the idea of how internet like has made emotional literacy like more available to people too, I think is like such a great point that I really never thought of before. The idea that I could Google and find PDS and Thais is kind of amazing. So we're definitely grateful for that. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Then maybe there's an abundance, like too much choice. You're like, where do I start? But no, it's definitely, I think, a very positive thing. And it's cool. It's at our fingertips. Just to backtrack, you shared you were fearful avoidant when you came into the school. What would you say is just overall the hardest thing that was being fearful avoidant? What was like some daily things that were like really hard to deal with?
Mm-hmm. Fearful avoidant attachment style is interesting because you definitely have like the worst of both worlds in a way. I think for me, it was a lot of like confusion because so and for anyone who's listening and maybe isn't super familiar with fearful avoidant, you're basically kind of swaying between like this anxious side, you know, the anxious, preoccupied end of the gamut, and then like the dismissive avoidant end, which is the more avoidant side. So you have elements of both, and you often you end up like kind of swinging between the two. And so for me, I think my biggest struggle was the nearly constant confusion that existed for me, like not really ever knowing what my truth was. Like, what am I feeling? And is this, am I feeling this because it's true, or am I feeling this because I'm afraid of something and I'm running away? You know what I mean? Like it was very interesting to be in my mind because it was constantly just like confused and fuzzy. So that was, I think I would say the biggest thing. Other than that, I mean, kind of goes along with that, but feeling just not really feeling super fulfilled because again, I never really knew, I guess, it does go hand in hand, but I never knew what my truth was. So I couldn't even make decisions on like, career or relationships, obviously, things like that. And so that ended up just giving me a very general sense of like, blah is the best way I can put it. Sure. Like, I felt like I had a cloud over my heart in a way. And I just kind of felt like, oh, this is the way life is. It's not meant to be like a happy place. That sounds so depressing, but that's how I felt, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like a lot of confusion and just a lot of, I guess like melancholy is a good word for it. Or malaise. I don't know. Well, maybe not malaise. But yeah, just generally not feeling super fulfilled in life and not really understanding like what I was feeling or going through.
Yeah, that sounds very difficult. You know, if one day you're feeling this way, the next way, the opposite, mm-hmm. building that self-trust and knowing like, okay, I know I want this. This is what I'm going to go for. Mm-hmm. And you think that one day, but then the other day you're thinking something totally different. No, I can't mm-hmm. do this, or I'm not good enough for this.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds very confusing and can be pretty scary, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I put my partners through a lot for sure, because I think they kind of just came along for the ride sometimes. And, you know, I can imagine it's really hard on a partner to kind of go through that too. So,
right. Yeah. And we've all heard of sort of the FA explosion where the resentment tank builds. Everything seems fine. The partner doesn't know what's going on. And then one day everything just comes out. They can't hold it in any longer.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can be a little challenging, but you know, as we know, there's reasons why those things happen, and FAs have some absolute amazing qualities to them, you know, superpowers, you can even say, but definitely one of my coworkers says FA for sure is the hardest attachment style to be. She equates it to being in a minefield. So you're constantly getting triggered. You're just stepping on landmines all the time. And it's like, oh my gosh, when am I going to just get a day where I feel like totally peaceful?
Yes, that's a great analogy. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we'll touch on later how there is peace on the other side.
I'll
ask you about that later. Okay, amazing. So we like to know with people on our show kind of what they're doing with self-care and just rituals and things they're doing on the daily. A lot of times we focus on sort of the big picture and, you know, we got to heal this big monster of an attachment theory, of attachment trauma. But it's really beneficial and interesting to know what people are doing on a micro level. So I'll start kind of, we've all heard the term self-care. I want to hear, what does self-care look like for Annette?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. So, because I think, self-care can be thought of as, you know, like bubble baths and chocolates. And, you know, those are great. I'm not going to hate on chocolate for sure. But, you know, I think it's more than that. Like even a little bit of what I said earlier about the way you behave towards yourself and some of that. Also, really checking in with yourself throughout the day. I found that's really useful because it just gets you into that practice of valuing yourself, right? And like, just like if you had a loved one who you were literally with all day, every day, I mean, every once in a while, you would like look at them and be like, how are you doing? Like, you know? So learning to do that for yourself and just check in, like, all right, how am I doing? Like, how am I feeling right now? Am I hungry? I know for me in the past, another thing was that I used to just work and sit at the computer and like, just work. And then I would sort of take a step back and realize I was like starving or like had to go use the restroom or something like that. And I just hadn't like checked in at all throughout, you know, this like, whatever, 4-hour time span. So just practicing doing that, like I actually have an alarm set on my phone, like to go off every couple of hours, which is like probably excessive, but it's just like, at this point, it's just like, oh yeah, I see it. And then immediately I'm just like, okay, like quick check-in and you know, everything's okay. Like let's keep going. So that's been a big part of that, like self-love and self-care as well for me. And just letting you know, allowing yourself the things that you love in life, whether it's wearing a nice shirt or taking a break, you know, to go for a walk or something like that. Just like treating yourself like you would an actual, you know, loved one around you. So
I love that. And like the checking in, like how that's so important. And I know that's something we are always teaching at the school. And like, I was just thinking of an analogy, like imagine you were at a restaurant and the server just drops off your food and then that's it. And then you never see them again. And you're like, well, I don't have a fork. Like, actually, the order is wrong. Like, there's just all these things that are not right. And then you just end up having to be like, okay, I'm just going to leave. Whereas, like, you need to check in. You need to be that someone for yourself to check in is how's everything going right now? Do we need anything? Are we hungry? Are we tired? Should I get up and stretch? Like, there's just so many different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we're not checking in, like, we're just completely externally focused. And imagine your insides is just like going all over the place and probably sending some alarm bells, but you're just like, can't deal with this now. I gotta, you know, continue working or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't pay attention to those things, you're going to burn out. You're going to, you know, eventually there's consequences to like never check in with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that idea about the alarm that you set. That's a really, really cool idea.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And then as far as like rituals, like, is there any like daily rituals that like you have to do every day to sort of keep yourself in a good place?
Yeah, I do meditate. I try to do it every morning. I'm not like, but I usually do it every morning. If I don't do it, it's usually because I'll do like yoga or something like that instead. So I try to do like, we'll say a mindfulness activity of some sort in the morning. And then in the evening before bed, I do like a breathing exercise. And I also write out, well, I have an app, so I type out, I guess. I type out like my wins for the day. I do 3 wins and 3 grateful things. And that's actually, it's funny. Like, when I remember when I first started doing those, I was kind of like, yeah, all right, whatever. Like, this isn't going to do anything. But I actually have noticed when I do that, and since I've been doing that, I'll notice like during the day. So obviously before I'm going to sleep, I'll write out the list. But then like the next day or like during the day, you know, during other days during the week, I will notice throughout the day when I make a win or I'm grateful about something. I hope that makes sense. Like, I do it at night as a practice, but then I think doing it over time has taught me to notice those things at other times of the day. So, yeah.
That sounds like a great practice and so valuable. Like, if you're not sort of acknowledging and seeing those wins and really like, you know, giving yourself credit for like doing these things, they can easily be forgotten. And then you just sort of get lost in the weeds of like your day of work being stressful or whatnot. So, you know, it's like the little kid getting a star for like a good performance. Like, that feels good. And like, you deserve to celebrate moments of growth. And we need to sort of, you know, just keep on accumulating those.
Yeah.
Sort of too easy to focus on what didn't go right in the day, but we have to definitely give some weight to things that we achieved. And that practice you have there sounds like a good way to do that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. So lastly, what I want to mention is a lot of people, you know, personal development work can be heavy and like, you know, serious and, you know, got to do our healing. I just kind of want to know, like, what do you do for fun? What do you do just to let your hair down and just completely enjoy yourself and, you know, keep you in the moment?
Yeah. So I love traveling. When COVID hit, well, I've always loved traveling, but then when COVID hit specifically, we couldn't travel. And so I got into doing road trips across like the US. So I have a bucket list item, really my only bucket list item, that I want to hit all the national parks in the US. And I think there's about 63 of them. And I think I've done about like 23, I want to say. So I'm like third of the way there, although there's a whole bunch that are like in Alaska and very remote. So we'll see if I ever get to those. But yeah, I just love traveling. If you're familiar with, you know, for listeners who are familiar with EDS and like knowing your needs and all that stuff, I really find that I have a high need for like exploration and nature. And so going on these trips like really fills those buckets for me. I also have a high need for like security and stuff and certainty. So I tend to like plan them out really well. Then it gives me like that freedom when I go on that trip to really like enjoy it and be in the moment. So that's my number one. And also I do a lot of yoga. I like baking. That also kind of meets my need for creative expression. Like, I used to do cake decorating and stuff like that. So that was kind of cool. Yeah. So those are like my big ones for sure.
Those are great. I love asking people about that. You can see them sort of light up when they're talking about their favorite activities that, you know, make them feel good. So that's really interesting. Okay. So just a couple of questions. I was curious about, you know, personal development school in the last 3 years. As we know, there's a lot of tools, exercises, certain things that we've learned in the personal development school. What tool would you say has been the most impactful for you in your time at PDS?
I would say the emotional processing tool for sure. It's kind of like a staple. Like, when people come into school, I know Thais always recommends taking like the emotional mastery course. And so that's a tool that's in there, and it's very much focused on like processing through your stories and figuring out what you really need out of the situation. It's like a step-by-step tool. So really like practical. I found that that really worked super well for me in moments when I was triggered or really like ruminating about something, you know, just sitting down and like spending some time journaling through it was just like immensely helpful. In the moment, you get like immediate relief, and then repetition over time, like as you continue using that tool, it eventually becomes something that you just intuitively start to do. And that's definitely been life changing for me.
That's really great. And I know, yeah, when we're in a state of rumination, sometimes that can go on for so long and just be such a distraction and like take away from our joy in life. So that's really neat how there's a tool that can kind of help loosen that up and question our stories and add some help there. That's great. I usually ask guests if they have sort of a tip, a habit, advice. Is there sort of anything you want to leave with our audience in the form of something that can help people live a more fulfilling life?
Yeah, I guess I would say for my fellow FAAs out there in particular, just take baby steps. Don't feel super overwhelmed by the process because it can feel overwhelming. We do have kind of both sides, all the core wounds to deal with. And so just taking it little by little, right? The way that I like to think of it is, you know, think of yourself right now, today, right? Whatever date it is that you're listening to this. And think of yourself in exactly 1 year from now, or even like 6 months, honestly. That time is going to pass, right? The 6 months, the year, it's going to pass. You can either choose to be in exactly the same spot that you are, or you can just take tiny baby steps, you know, do what you can, do one core wound at a time, you know, and then in that 6 months, in that year, you're going to be, you know, even if it's just a little bit more able to manage emotions, you're going to be in an improved place, right? Even if you're just working baby steps at a time. So I kind of like to see the choice as, you know, between do you want to be in exactly the same space or even just like a little bit of a better space and moving in that direction. So, you know, try not to get overwhelmed and just take it little by little. And you're going to see that like over time, things are just going to get better, basically. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. And just to touch on, yeah, fast forward for anybody who's starting their journey, thinks this is like huge. You touched on sort of the smaller picture and, you know, step by step. What can they expect? Like, how do you feel now? We were saying before, you know, you were all over the map and feeling depressed or maybe just all these different things. What are some of the changes now that maybe people could look forward to if they really dive into healing their attachment style?
Yeah. So I would say the biggest difference is really just a feeling of stability is the best. And it's so funny because I feel like if anyone out there is like hardcore fearful avoidant like I was, they're not going to believe me probably, but I promise you guys, it's possible, right? Like I never used to think that there could be real stability and like genuine, just like contentment in life, but that's where I'm at. It's just, things are kind of peaceful. I still feel like, you know, happy and joyous emotions. And I still feel, you know, hurt sometimes when people do stuff, but it's just not this like total roller coaster of emotion. If I get upset about something, I'm able to like work through it and not have like a huge emotional outburst. So it's just really been a lot more stability. And yeah, I guess contentment really is like the best word for it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I know with fearful avoidance, you know, growing up in a bit of a chaotic environment, there might have been chaos in the household. So then in our adult life, chaos is sort of the subconscious comfort zone. So chaos is the norm and almost feels like when there's no chaos, it's almost like what's going on here? When's something bad going to happen? Like, you know what I mean? So it's almost like you freak out when things are too calm, but it sounds like you've gotten to an area now where you can have these periods of calmness and be like, okay, this is what life should be like. We don't need these extreme roller coaster up and downs. That's excellent. Sure.
And it's funny you say that because that's actually something I had to work on too, was that when I got to a point where like, okay, I was working through core wounds, I was working through all this stuff and things were feeling more stable, more peaceful. I actually, and this is common for fearful avoidance, you get to a point where you're like feeling these things, but because like you said, it's not really part of your subconscious comfort zone yet because you're so used to chaos. You actually have to do some work around why is it safe to be stable? Because it's such an interesting thing. Like you start feeling it, but then almost like there's like a little discomfort that follows it because it's like not quite familiar. And so I had to do work around that too. Like being like, okay, this is actually safe. this is why this is a good thing. And because your brain just wants to go back to like, let's go back to the chaos. So yeah, it's a great point as well.
For sure. Definitely. Okay. So we're getting towards the end of our podcast. This has been really amazing, Annette. Thanks for being here. So I just wanted to let our audience know, like, what services you're offering these days. We touched on the coaching, but please, you can go a little more into that.
Yeah, for sure. So I do coaching. I'm also teaching yoga as well. I teach one class a week right now online, and that's a donation-based class. So, you know, I just keep that open to everyone. If you don't have the means to donate, that's completely fine. If you're interested, just come on in. And yeah, and then I do one-on-one coaching. Right now I'm working through PDS, through the Personal Development School. So I'm available, you know, for one-on-one sessions through the site. Yeah.
Perfect. That's great. And lastly, if someone wanted to contact you or maybe wanted to work with you, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah. So for coaching, you can go through the Personal Development School website. And I don't know off the top of my head now, like, exactly where you would go. By the time you're listening to this, though, there should be a clear way to access like the one-on-one coaches. Sure. So that's one area. And then if you're interested in the yoga, you can check out my website as well. It's a little bit of a mouthful, so I guess we'll probably put it in the show notes, hopefully. But it's basically my first initial and my last name, adelabarbara.wix.com/yoga coach. And I think I'm going to eventually shorten that up and get another site for it. But for right now, that's where I'm just putting like my yoga and some of my coaching information as well. But
that's awesome. Thank you so much. And yeah, folks, if you want to try Personal Development School on a 7-day free trial, I'll put a link in the show notes. But yeah, if you're coming to the school, we have a great community. We have so many like weekly community events, live webinars, everything. Annette's a fixture in our school. So if you join the school, you'll definitely see her at a lot of these things and can kind of get to know her even more. But yeah, that's it for today. Thank you so much, Annette, for being here. Really appreciate your time. And we'll check in with your journey maybe down the road and have you back on. But I just want to say I really appreciate you being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, hopefully down the road, we can kind of see where we're both at. Perfect. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay, take care.